This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Now, in the UK, the MI6 chief has apologised for the past ban on LGBTI staff members. MI6, or the Secret Intelligence Service, is the home of Bond, James Bond, and the boss, who's the only person that's actually publicly known in that organisation, which is Richard Moore, has come out and said that the ban was wrong, unjust and discriminatory. He actually posted it on his official Twitter account to mark the 30 years of the ban being lifted. He said that the ban had meant that the intelligence and diplomatic services had actually deprived themselves of some of the best talent Britain could offer. These people were ready to serve but were denied the opportunity. So same-sex relationships were decriminalized in 1967, but it took another 24 years before the ban on hiring LGBT staff across the UK government was lifted.
There seem to be quite a number of businesses, organisations, governments who are apologising, and I think that really does actually make a difference. So it's a recognition of past wrongs. It can't change the past, but it's saying, look, we got it wrong.
Yeah. He says that because of this policy, loyal and patriotic people who had their dreams of serving their country in MI6 were shattered. And as I said, that this was wrong, unjust, and discriminated.
Now, I've got a story from right here in Australia, from the University of Queensland. They have done a study and found empirical evidence that homophobes are more likely to be stupid. Now, let me clarify that a little bit. But basically, they're saying that people with lower cognitive intelligence, there's a link between that and homophobia. They did a study across, they took existing data sets. I don't know if you've heard of the HILDA data set, which is the Household Income Labour Dynamics set in Australia. It's a very long-running survey. And they did some regressive analysis on it and then matched it with another survey where they asked people, homosexual couples should have the same rights as heterosexual couples. And they sort of did this analysis. So basically, higher cognitive ability leads to lower prejudice. The better educated you are, the less prejudices you have. It's not rocket science, probably, but it is something that, you know, there is some actual hard data to be able to talk to.
I mean, there's actually a report that proves the point that most of us already knew.
Absolutely. And it came out of Queensland, so, you know.
Well, over in Israel, the Prime Minister there has been accused of courting homophobes and racists in an attempt to secure power. Now, it's been muted that the Prime Minister there is looking at forming a coalition with a number of far-right parties, one of which is an extremely anti-LGBTI party. So they are fiercely against any forms of LGBT rights, including same-sex adoption and IVF for same-sex couples. Now, this party, which is ultra-orthodox, wouldn't be able to get enough seats in the Parliament.
Yes.
Thank you. But its chances of actually forming part of a coalition is far greater if it actually merges with a number of other far-right parties.
Yeah, and now, this is the fourth election in 2 years for the poor old Israeli public. And partly because they have these very unstable coalitions. They rely, you know, if you want to govern, you've got to get into bed with these really extreme groups.
Yeah. The Prime Minister's done it before in 2019 or done something very similar. People are concerned that if this does happen, it's potentially at the cost of all the LGBT rights that have already got in Israel.
Well, let's finish on a little bit of a good story. A researcher in the UK has found an old booklet. It's called The Link. When it first started, it was called Cupid's Messenger. It was first launched in 1951. It was a bit of like a Lonely Hearts booklet where you could leave messages to find your, you know, find a loved one. It's kind of the, you know, it's early Grindr, let's call it. They've done some analysis of all the words and sort of had a really good look at it. So each advert only allowed the user 25 words or less. So you had to really pack a punch. And LGBTQ women would use certain words, cues that others would pick up on. So if you used, you're an unconventional person or you were jolly or broad-minded, or if you made references to LGBT figures, you know, you liked Oscar Wilde or Walt Whitman. They were sort of the cues that you were looking for like-minded people.
I'm old enough to remember when you had to use personal ads to contact people.
Yeah, I can remember that a bit too.
I'm not from the 1950s, but, you know, even recently in the 70s, we still had to do personal ads.
There you go. Some things never change, and that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.